this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre and Dara Gottfried, and I'm here with skinless, blind, armless, legless, Munchausen syndrome by proxy, Albert Decker disorder, Raybone.
Paul's back.
Hi,
that's
Paul.
That's an introduction like we give our guests on the show.
Paul, I'm straight as they come, but for a skinless guy, you're a handsome individual.
I appreciate that.
I just wanted to, you know, give a shout out to three of the Earwolf guys here, Jared O'Connell, Casey Holford, and Dave Seidel, who helped us set up a keyboard for an episode you guys will hear with Charles Fox, which was terrific. And they did yeoman work, which we appreciate. And Verta Rosa got it all wired up, and it was important because Charles has written many wonderful hits, and how else could Gilbert sing the hits from Zapped?
Oh, my God.
It was a terrific show.
He said he wouldn't come on if I sang his songs. Not only did he let me sing his songs, he played accompaniment on the piano.
He did.
And he was, like, totally into it.
He was.
He wasn't just fooling around for comic purposes.
Although he hasn't written me back since I...
No.
The jury's out.
I would also say that was one of Gilbert's finest vocal performances.
It was.
My opinion.
It was.
And believe it or not, I'm actually serious.
Top 70. So Dara's back. Paul's with her this time. Dara's back by popular demand because loved the... What do we call the last one? Dara's CD collection?
Yeah.
Because she couldn't find her 45s. So we sent her back out into the jungle to find her actual physical 45s, which were where? At your mom's house?
No, actually, they were in... I have a stack, but they're my mom's 45s.
They're your mom's 45s.
Exactly.
Oh, good. So we're going
back. We're going way back.
Now, once again, Gilbert and I do not know.
Yes.
Do you know what these songs are?
No.
Okay, I don't either. I sound like Kreskin. We've never met.
That's right.
And we have... Gilbert and I are going to guess... Hopefully, in a couple of notes, Paul has done research on them, so you have background information.
I have some background information, but I didn't find out till just now that it was your mother's.
Oh yeah, this
45.
Is my mother's.
That explains a lot.
Yeah,
or so you would have turned the gig down.
Yeah, right.
Just as a little background, my mother, Heather Kravitz, was born in 1946. Okay. So, and this
Gives
was her.
Context.
This was her record collection, and I basically have a big stack in the closet, and I just.
Are
grabbed.
Any of these yours, or should we be calling
episode? They're all my mom's.
So we have to call this Heather Kravitz's 45
collection. Well, they're mine now, but I inherit them from my mother.
We'll call it Dara and Mom's record collection.
There you go. But I basically just randomly grabbed a handful
of them.
Fantastic.
So Gilbert and I will guess. We'll try to get this in the tight 30 minutes, and here we go.
You want to kick it off? Kick it off.
Number one.
Thank you, Frankie.
All right. So number one.
No.
You don't tell us anything.
Don't say anything.
We have to hear the music first.
Jesus
oh, we hear the music
Christ.
First.
Suck, Paul.
Come on, Paul.
You're here for the fast.
On a piece of paper. Of course you know.
I was going to give an elegant introduction.
Shut the fuck up, Paul.
Also, all right, Frankie.
Welcome back to the show.
Go ahead. Gil, this is your era.
My papa, to me you are so wonderful. Oh, my papa, to me you are so grand.
Yes.
Oh, my papa, so gentle and so wonderful. Oh, my papa.
I think we got it.
Yeah.
Eddie Fisher. Very good.
Eddie Fisher for one, but...
Krusty the Clown did
this
it.
This thing was covered by... 100 different people.
Yeah, tell us some.
Okay, here's some. Since its debut, it was published in 1939, which was before your mother was alive, actually. And so anyway, here's some of the people who've covered the song. Liz Assia, Alan Breeze, Billy Cotton, Billy Vaughn, the Everly Brothers, Harry James, Guy Mitchell, Malcolm Vaughn, Susie and the Banshees.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Which is an interesting one. And it's quoted in Frank Zappa's song, Billy the Mountain. And perhaps the best rendition of all, it is sung in The Simpsons by
Krusty the Clown.
Krusty the Clown
sings it in the Jackie Mason episode. Yes, where Jackie plays Rabbi Krustofsky.
The episode's called Like Father, Like Clown.
Nice work. Dara?
It was number one hit in 1954, and it was originally a nostalgic German song called Mein Papa.
I love this. Research in stereo.
Yes.
Dara's going to catch the Munchausen.
But wait, one more. There was actually a television show that featured it.
Really?
Yeah.
What show?
Gomer Pyle.
Oh, okay. Wow. In addition to The Simpsons.
There you go.
That's Eddie
good.
Fisher.
That's a good
was
one.
That Eddie Fisher's
Gomer
big
Pyle.
Hit? That was his big
I
hit.
I think
that
so.
That was his signature hit.
Yeah.
Nice work, Gil.
Okay, number two.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Now, number two.
No, I'm going to wait for Paul to ruin it before I start.
thank you, Heather Kravitz.
Have that opportunity.
Here we go.
Yeah, this is Dara's day.
Uh-oh.
Good job.
Que sera, sera.
When I was just a little girl.
Perfect timing.
I asked my mother, what will I be?
Just lost her a couple of weeks ago.
Will I
did.
Be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me.
Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be.
The future's not ours to see.
Que sera, sera.
Killed
my ears.
What will be, will be.
God, Gilbert.
As my high school band teacher used to say, you're subtle like a brick.
And fell in love.
I guess you know this one.
Wow. All right, Mr. Gottfried. Well, who knows? You guys have little information in front of you, so I'm not going to ask you. Gil, what movie is this from?
Exactly.
Oh.
What movie was it used in? Doris Day sang it in the movie. Not a comedy, not a love story.
Schindler's List.
Wrong.
Oh, wait. Was it the James Cagney one?
No.
Give up?
Oh.
Give up.
Was it James Cagney one, Love Me or Leave Me?
Yeah, I think so.
This was The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Oh,
Hitchcock.
Hitchcock.
I have another one, though.
You do?
The Barefoot Contessa.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she definitely
sang...
Oh,
wait. The phrase, Que sera, sera, came from the movie The Barefoot Contessa.
Yeah, she definitely sings it in the Man Who Knew Too Much. The remake, not the Peter Lorre version.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Stewart version.
And it also, in 1956, won the Oscar for Best Song.
It sure did. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Pay attention to 1956. That's going to come up again.
Okay. By the way, is it possible for someone to die twice because Doris Day just died again, Gilbert?
Oh, yeah.
After you weighed in.
Well, it happened to Julie Andrews.
Yeah. She was actually not dead. She was hanging on by a thread. You sang it. Put her over the top. We'll keep moving on in the interest of time.
This was also in what Simpsons episode?
Was it in a Simpsons episode?
Simpsons episode, Bart's Comet. Sung by several characters as they wait for a comet to destroy Springfield.
Very good, Paul. You surprised me.
Huh? All right.
Okay.
Next.
All right,
for a
Francis.
Guy with no skin.
Yeah.
All right, now this next one is sung by... Oh, I'm sorry. That's Paul's gig.
Yes. I'll take Paul's gig.
I'll get that. I'll take care of that, Frank.
Oh, I should know this.
On a day like today,
it's Pat Boone.
We pass the time away.
Well, is this Love Letters in the Sand?
Good job, Frank.
Pat Boone.
Love letters in the sand.
I love you, Gilbert.
How you laughed when I cried each time. Saw the time.
Wow.
Take our love letters from the sand.
Pat Boone, who sang every white, colorless, bloodless version of every rock and roll song.
Like I loved. We'll have to play it on another episode side by side with, you know, Rudy Tooty.
Oh, his Tooty, Fruity
Tootie
version.
Fruity.
Yeah.
Oh, Rudy.
Rudy. Pat Boone was the...
Who wrote Love Letters in the Sand? This is going to turn out to be interesting.
I know.
It's somebody you know. I think
somebody I know personally?
Well, not
Whoopi Goldberg?
Gilbert will recognize
John Ritter.
Close. Yeah. Very close.
You mean who wrote the lyrics or the music?
Who wrote the music?
Oh boy.
The lyrics were Nick Kenny and Charles Kenny. The music was written by, are you ready?
Give me a year. Sammy Kahn.
No, what is the year? Let's see here.
It was written in
1931. 1931, right.
Wow.
Based, inspired by the 1881 Spanish Cavalier.
Xavier Cugat. No idea.
J. Fred Coots.
J. Fred Coots.
Does that ring a bell?
Wow.
J. Fred Coots.
Sure.
Yeah,
who also wrote...
What was the name
J. Fred Muggs. I know.
No,
that was the chimp on the Today Show.
That's what I was thinking of.
Different guy.
Are we going back to?
I thought I didn't know the last name was Coots. No, I thought it was something else.
J. Fred Muggs was a chimpanzee on a talk show.
Are we going
on Dave Garraway?
Didn't we do chimpanzees tonight?
Yeah, that chimp performed Cunnilingus on Dave Garraway. But those were more innocent times.
Oh, they were. They really were. Perfect for a Pat Boone accompaniment.
J. Fred Coots wrote the classic Christmas carol, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
I'm impressed.
And he also wrote, nobody will know this one. I don't know if you guys know this. Do you know the song You Go to My Head?
Sure.
Yeah.
Very nice romantic jazz song. He wrote that too.
J. Fred Coots.
A little bit different from Love Letters in the Sand.
J. Fred Muggs, named after J. Fred Coots.
And it spent 5 weeks at number one on the Billboard Top 100 chart during June and July 1957.
Pat Boone still around.
All right.
And his daughter had a number one hit, a mega hit. You light up my life.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which
that's
was a
right.
song to Jesus.
Yeah, written by a guy who was busted for killing, for rape.
Yes,
Joe Brooks.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to bring the show down.
Okay.
What else you have, Frank?
I know. Now it's getting interested.
Heather has some eclectic tastes.
Yes.
Hey. This is a great song written by the one and only
J. Fred Coots.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, what you do to me, hot diggity dog diggity, oh, what you do to me,
when you're holding
me tight.
Never dreamed anybody could kiss that away, bring me bliss that away.
Nobody sounds like Barry Como.
What a wonderful feeling to feel that away. Tell me, where have you been all my life?
Oh, hot diggity dog diggity, oh, what you do to me?
What you do to me, hot diggity dog diggity,
oh, what you do to me?
When you're holding me tight.
Wow.
You're getting all these.
Yeah.
Now
these are standards.
I know.
These are classic songs.
There's one story I heard where they spoke to Groucho Marx, one of Groucho Marx's wives, and she made a snide, insulting remark about Perry Como. Then the reporter asked Perry Como what he thought of her remark, and he said, well, she just doesn't like Italians. And so the reporter asked Groucho, and Groucho said, that's not true. She likes my brother Chico, and he's Italian.
That's funny. My mother's mother, my grandmother, disapproved of her marrying my father.
Yeah.
And she actually said, you should have married Perry Como. And my mother said, I don't know Perry Como.
That's amazing.
Story
That's
amazing. Stayed in the family for
That's
years.
That's amazing. So do you know where the phrase hot diggity dog came from?
I do not. J. Fred Coots?
There you go. Okay, so it dates to at least 1928 when Al Jolson was recording. Saying, hot diggity dog, hot kitty, hot pussycat, didn't I tell you you'd love it? After a performance of the tune, There's a Rainbow Around My Shoulder.
What?
That's very disturbing.
Take that to the bank.
The line, ooh, what you do to me, was written by one of Cesar Romero's pool boys.
Exactly. Ooh, what you do to me.
And that's also what Al Jolson would scream out when he came.
I didn't know that.
Hot diggity dog. Hot diggity dog.
So have you ever heard of TV show called Doom Patrol?
Sure.
It's an outgrowth of DC Comics, right? Some sort?
Yes.
There was a recent episode in which a giant balloon shaped like buttocks was launched into the air playing a song. Wait a minute, it gets better.
Okay.
Playing a song on an attached jukebox, playing this song on a detached jukebox, reportedly sending people insane within 20 minutes.
Wow. I don't know which anecdote I like better.
Yeah.
Gil, we have to vote on best anecdote.
He's finding much different information.
The buttock-shaped balloon or Al Jolson ejaculating.
Yeah, Al Jolson, when he would get a blowjob backstage. From, he would go, hat diggity tongue diggity.
They were simpler times.
Yes.
They were more innocent times. What else?
And the depression was going on.
Yes,
and
oh my God.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What else you got there, Frank?
1, 2, 3.
Well,
four,
well, I see.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
Okay. You could have taken that one out.
That one we could have let Paul answer.
Yes. You know,
Bill Haley and the comments.
You bet.
Yes. Good job, Gilbert.
You bet.
That's right.
You know what's interesting is how associated that song is with Happy Days.
Yes.
And how many guests we've had from Happy Days.
Oh, my God.
We had Donnie Most. We had the Fonz, Henry. We had Marion Ross, Mrs. C. And now we've had Charles Fox, who wrote the damn theme song.
And what's wild is all of the songs we've heard tonight.
Yes.
Are written by Charles Fox.
I didn't know that.
Not a lot of people.
Not J. Fred Poots.
J. That's a pseudonym.
Are you sure?
I'm digging it down.
Are you sure? Well, you know what Charles didn't say, too, when he was here, is that when they were writing the Happy Days theme, Sunday, Monday, yeah. Happy Days, yeah. Tuesday, they were inspired by that Bill Haley used the clock.
Yes.
So they went to the calendar.
Oh, wow.
That's great. The late Norman Gimbel.
Wow.
Charles' writing partner, that's where he got the idea.
Rock Around the Clock was the theme song for what movie?
Oh,
American Graffiti.
Blackboard Jungle.
Blackboard Jungle. Ding, ding, ding.
He's right.
With Glenn Ford.
With Glenn Ford.
Sidney Poitier and former podcast guest Jamie Farr.
Wow.
It also had Vic Morrow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Spectacular.
Nice work.
Spectacular.
See, I got it wrong. Gilbert's on his game.
What did you say?
It's used in American Graffiti.
American
Graffiti. But it's not the theme song,
right,
as Gilbert. Right. Correctly points out.
Right.
Yes. Nice work.
All right.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd get the podcast guest in there. You slid Jamie Farr right,
yes,
in there. That was nicely done. So we're tracking your mother's life, really, through these songs.
I guess so.
Are you going in chronological order?
I just randomly picked
okay,
a couple 45s.
I can picture your mom now at the sock hop.
Oddly enough, and I don't think you were looking for this, they all circle right around 1956.
That's true.
Like this one's 55.
That's
true. You
know,
there's a couple 57.
Right.
I guess that's when she was collecting 45s.
Right? Fascinating. Yeah. She still has them.
Yeah.
She physically,
I have them now.
You physically have the 45s.
I physically have the 45s.
This is too cool.
How many are there?
I have a stack.
Do you have the little yellow, as Gilbert calls it, the little yellow swastika?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Okay, next one.
We'll keep going.
Here it comes.
Oh, let me guess. Is it the father of a podcast guest?
Yeah. Mickey Katz, father of former podcast guest Joel Gray.
And grandfather of
Jennifer Gray.
Jennifer.
Salami, what's hard like a brick? But never eat pickles with ice cream. Cause ice cream and pickles don't mix.
Oi!
And
Gilbert's going to cover this.
So 1953.
The great Mickey Katz.
And Katz was most well known for his parodies, but he created more traditional klezmer music as well.
He did a lot of stuff, as we pointed out with Joel Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's something mysterious. I looked him up. First, I found Mickey Katz, easy enough. I found the Joel Gray connection, but I was trying to find out if it's the right Mickey Katz.
Yeah. How many Mickey Katzes were there that were
recording? I don't know, but I searched all kinds of ways to get Katz and Gray in the same piece, and I never found it.
Interesting.
So it's just very strange.
Yes.
Why should this be different than other research?
Did you know the Broadway musical Katz has absolutely nothing to do with Mickey Katz?
I was not aware of that.
Do you have that?
here's another thing I didn't know. Do you know Patti Page's song that would come up right now?
Of course. It's a parody of Patti Page's
song.
How much is that?
I tried to search another search failure. I tried to search everywhere to see those two tunes in the same page.
Are you using a UNIVAC computer from 1952?
I've got
He's still using the free AOL disc.
Well, look, there's still five extra hours on it.
I thought Gilbert would appreciate a free disc.
Gilbert, if you were approached to do a novelty record at this stage of your career, I think you should cover How Much Is That Piccolo?
That would be perfect.
Oh, wow.
Or Alan Sherman's Don't Buy the Liverwurst.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's one more song.
Harvey and Sheila.
This is fun.
We've got one more.
Said that's all he's got.
I got one more.
He's got one more thing. We'll call this a bonus track.
I'm a little distracted by storm warnings in here, but this is a bonus track. One extra.
It's a boner track. That gets back to
I'm
going to
make the AOL dial-up sound so Paul feels more at home. Hang on.
Remember that? That was awful.
What do you mean, remember it? You're still on it. Used it last week. Paul's on a UNIVAC that was made in 1948.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show.
How would we know this one? Okay, I give up. This one's impossible.
I did the research on this. It's Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think so.
It's Andy Kaufman.
Was it written and first recorded by?
Carl Perkins.
There you go, in 1955.
Who do you think you're dealing with?
Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes.
Wow.
Let's go, Katz.
Mickey Katz. See? See, Gil?
He was playing bass. Mickey Katz. And he'd go, let's go, Katz.
And then Mickey would kick in on the klezmer. These were fun. I think you have to pick harder ones next time.
Oh, I could do that. I randomly just picked, but I could pick harder ones.
But it's some of the ideas like that go along with these tunes. Familiar tune, but did you know?
Yes.
That Carl Perkins had a conversation with Johnny Cash in which Cash talked about some military guy who had blue suede shoes, gave Carl Perkins the idea for the song.
Interesting.
That's a good one.
Carl Perkins had a story told Johnny Cash that gave Johnny Cash the idea for I Walk the Line.
How about that, Gil?
Yeah.
That's some nifty research that Rayburn came
finally.
Up with at the last minute.
Yeah. I spent hours coming up with
that. When it's not giving away the answer.
Paul, you saved the show.
All right. Can I rip through who's covered blue switch? What are we talking about?
Quickly, because Frank's house is coming off of its foundation.
Bill Haley. Buddy Holly, the Dave Clark Five, the Beatles, Plastic Ono Band, Albert
I'm going to play
King,
the Oscars
Jerry
like
Lee
wrap
Lewis.
It up music.
There it is. And there's more.
I think you forgot one.
What?
J. Fred Poots.
J. Fred Poots.
And right now.
Coots. J. Fred Coots.
Right now.
I like Poots better.
Right now at Frank Verderosa's house, you'll hear.
Yes, we're
coming
recording.
Up next week on part two of Songs That Exist.
Great job, research team.
I think we could go longer because Frank doesn't have a place
go. There is no safer place than being in a constructed room within a building with, you know, I'm fine. It's just my kids might be, you know, in a tree.
So this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with our guests. Well, I'm Gilbert Gottfried, Frank Santopadre, and our guest, Dara Gottfried, and eyelashless, eyelidless, eyebrowless Raybone.
I see what you mean.
And eyeglassless Raybone.
I'd like to dedicate this episode to J. Fred Poots.
Yeah.
Not Coots.
Blue suede Poots.
No, no. He had a bigger body of work. Yeah. He had a much more impressive body of work than Coots. Poots over Coots.
Who used to go down on Dave Garrett.
All right.
I'm surprised you didn't sing Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
We'll do another one.
I was looking forward to that.
Que será, será, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que será, será, what will be. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart what lies ahead. Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que será, será, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que será, será, what will be. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que será, será, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que será, será,